The following is presented by the Earth Angel Media Network.
What if most of what you think is true is not? Or what if what many call fact is patently false? How would your life change if you discovered that most of history was rewritten to control how we think and how we live today? Is it possible that by simply daring to ask intelligent, unbiased questions, we can save our world from control destruction? It's been said that knowing the truth will set us free. Are you ready to taste freedom? Perhaps for the first time? Welcome to Studio 17. We question everything, then do it again and again. You arrived at Studio 17 by intention, not by accident. Studio 17 is hosted by Dr. Tia Jolie Phillips, a former Air Force pilot, a doctor of holistic health, and now world entrepreneur and ambassador for freedom. Question everything. Rinse. Repeat. You are in the perfect place at the perfect time. Studio 17 starts
right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Dr. Tia Jolie Phillips, and this is episode 2 of Studio 17. And our tagline is, question everything, rinse and repeat. I've got a whole host of guests that are going to come your way. And today we have a special person, a very special person. I met him years ago virtually. His name is Charles Frohman, and he and I share a lot of common things. But we also have a lot of differences. So we're going to have a really cool conversation today. My purpose is to shed the light on what he's doing, but also show a little bit about what's inside of him. Because freedom fighters come in all shapes and sizes. People who know what freedom is and what it looks like, and importantly, what it doesn't look like, they're very precious in today's world. If we've seen anything over the past few years, we've seen that there's overreach. There's power that is completely out of control. It's corrupted, and we are suffering from it. So Charles has been in the fight for freedom, and there's different types of freedom, but his is specifically health freedom. So I want to welcome Charles to Studio 17. Charles, welcome.
Thanks, Tia Jolie. Always good to see you. Congratulations on this new platform. Should be exciting.
And I also want to extend a my gratitude to you. My first guest for episode 1 was a referral from you. So I'm very grateful. When I look at your platform, the Freedom Hub podcast, it reads like a who's who of champions for freedom. What was the inspiration? Like, what got you started in this whole Freedom Hub thing?
Our mutual friend, Jeff Cantor. Whom I met at the Libertarian Convention in 2016. And he had a booth there to introduce the sharing concept, which is sort of a third way between Obamacare and government care. And having managed health care for politicians going back to the 90s, I knew all about health savings accounts and free markets for health insurance. But I knew nothing, like most people, about sharing. So that was an education for me, and I got into that selling that stuff as well as lobbying and to market our fundamental change in health payment. Jeff Cantor started Freedom Hub, and in 2018-ish, 2017, I really had to go back and check to verify. And we started mainly with fellow health disruptors, but given that Jeff and I both were libertarian, And we were going down the rabbit hole about what was really going on. And we decided to push the envelope on acceptable topics and guests. And we progressively triggered more and more of our friends with guests who interested us in our pursuit of truth, but didn't necessarily help us sell the sharing. But it's morphed over the past 6 years or 7 years into two shows a week, one focused on health, and then one focused on more controversial topics. So it's a lot of fun. Helps us make money and helps us push out the truth.
So as a libertarian, like I don't label myself, but if I had to label myself, I've been a libertarian pretty much most of my life. It's got to be very frustrating for you because you're right in the DC mix. Like you're totally in the mix. And, you know, when I read the Constitution, it says that we, the people, have the right to petition Congress for grievances. But now we're in a scenario where special interests and corporations, they do more petitioning of Congress than we, the people, do. So I look at somebody like you, and it's like, wow, you know, some of us are truthers and we're freedom fighters in our own realm, but you're right in the mix. Like, I don't even know how you keep your head together being a libertarian freedom fighter in the DC swamp. Like, I don't even know how you do it, but for people who don't understand what it is to be a libertarian, because my hope is that Studio 17 reaches many audiences. In your own words, what does it mean to be a libertarian, and why is what a libertarian is, why is that relevant to the world around us?
Well, let's unpack that question because there's several topics in that question.
Sorry about that. You're complex, and I'll try to keep it simple.
No, that's okay. It'll be a good conversation, hopefully. So one way that I tolerate that vortex of evil, which you correctly characterize as DC, the military arm of the globalists, is I don't live there. I have a house there, which I rent out, that I used to live in on Capitol Hill. It's a nice row house. I love it. Except when, you know, there's a leak with 100-year-old pinewood floors. So I live a couple hours south in our colonial capital, Williamsburg, Virginia. And one of the silver linings from the pandemic is Zoom. I can do a lot of my lobbying with Zoom. And it actually can be more effective because I've become, in Health Freedom, the lead lobbyist for the next front. Vaccines still are important, but the wireless mesh is something we may get into, is the next front in assault on our lives from the toxins involved with microwave radiation, radio frequency, microwave radiation. And I need experts sometimes to discuss some of the bills to help staffers understand it. And with Zoom, it's easier to bring an expert into the conversation versus getting them to willingly travel to DC, which smart people want to avoid because it is the vortex of evil. Now, to the libertarian part, like a lot of people, I think I became libertarian just through the travails of life, not so much studying Rothbard, although I did that later. But I was a Republican congressional staffer in the 90s. And I realized the source of most problems was government. And Cato, the Institute, was just down the street on Capitol Hill before it moved to its nice glass enclosed building. And Heritage Foundation gave some good basic free market economics. So between those two and the Wall Street Journal op-ed page, I sort of became pretty knowledgeable on free market economics and the libertarian philosophy. And eventually, I became the Associate Director of Government Affairs at the Cato Institute in the early 2000s. So I was organizing a lot of forums in the basement of the Rayburn Congressional Office Building with the help of Ron Paul's office to reserve those rooms. And I would just try and educate staffers and interns with our scholars about issues, the libertarian aspect of the issues. This is during the Bush administration, early 2000s. But it's important to have libertarians in DC and everywhere just to check people, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that you don't have all the answers. There is an ancient philosophy, because, you know, libertarianism goes back to the Bible, to Lao Tzu and Taoism. You can find it even in the Vedic text. And it's basically, you know, live and let live. If you commit fraud or harm someone, you're going to face justice. And you keep the rules simple. And so there's clarity. It's easier to enforce, as opposed to the corruption that you mentioned that now runs every government world, including there's a global aspect to it. So we're in dangerous times. And so I like where I am, empowering people to become cash patients, lobbying for health freedom, and then also educating folks about yoga to help yourself become a better person to face the chaos that's enveloping us.
So you bring up so many interesting topics, and thank you for kind of going over that. It is a complex question because there's this spiritual aspect of this conversation. There's this power structure, you know, the governmental aspect to it. There's this individual accountability aspect to it. So there's like so many dimensions to it. But so we're going to probably bring all these around in the discussion back into the fold. But you did touch on you being a yogi. And to me, in my mind, there's a lot of common area for a yogi who's got this spiritual individual sense or the sense of individual spirituality, a libertarian who's got this human sense of individuality, and then being a libertarian who's got this sense of individuality with respect to an overreaching collective of power. So you're like the real deal freedom fighter in all regards, best I can tell. But let's do a little bit of a dive on you being a yogi, because to me, this speaks, you know, you're talking about health freedom. And I know, as you know, I'm a doctor of holistic natural health and nutrition. I get people, they expect me to do everything for them. It's like, no, that's really not the way it works. It's almost like we're fighting an uphill battle, not with just the government, but this idea that we should go to this person that's got a white lab coat and a stethoscope so they can hear your heart, and that they're going to prescribe some chemicals to you, and that they're responsible for your health. This healthcare system that's not health or care, it's got its place, but it's not overreaching. So I'd like you to kind of maybe address those things, like you're a yogi and a libertarian. How does this all dovetail together? And what is your viewpoint on our own? I'm asking a multiple complex question, but it dovetails into personal accountability for ourselves and for our health. Maybe you can address that for the people.
Sure. So starting with a story, when I was a young Republican congressional staffer, discovering the corruption of government and how it really was merely a tool of the powerful to screw their competitors, I realized that the Jefferson that I had been reading and the Milton Friedman, it was so separate from what was going on in the pig trough of D.C. and how the pigs in the media were covering it. And I use the term pigs with all due affection. I needed to work on myself, too, because I was still having a pretty good time as a young person on Capitol Hill. And I got into natural health, eating better, and then finally I got into yoga. And with most people, it's usually gym yoga at the gym, a series of poses. And you could find that series of poses pretty much at any yoga class at any gym in America. And it's good. It's good stuff. But it's only a starting point. It does help to get flexible and get that lymph flowing and all that. Someone said, Charlie, you should try Kundalini yoga. And so it was taught at the Church of the Holy City. It's in the middle of D.C. And D.C. is sort of built on a grid. It's fairly Masonic, one might say. In fact, that Church of the Holy City is right by the main Mason Church, which is a giant block of Greek ornate granite of some sort. must be the center of evil or something. Nearby was the church where I was teaching, a Swedenborg church, which is some odd Christian sect. It's a beautiful space, and I learned Kundalini yoga there, and I did not like it. They were chanting, moving weirdly, and meditating. And so I went back a few times, and then they finally had a white tantric day out in Herndon where all the Sikhs live. A lot of hippies got into Kundalini from Yogi Bhajan. They get off pot, and they converted to become Sikhs, and they wear turbans. And the white tantric is all-day meditations in pairs, hour length with 10-minute breaks. And that kind of intense meditative experience is going to throw you for a loop. And it did that to me. And I was sold on the practice from then on. And I became a trained teacher, certified. And I taught in DC for years. And what I love about Kundalini yoga is that it uses meditation and mantra as well as a lot of different movements. And I have manual upon manual of different sets of exercises. And it's all based on what you want to work on. You want to work on your stomach, your heart, your lymph, your endocrine, your spirit, your nerves, whatever. So the variety is great for those who don't want to have just a series of poses in the gym. But every morning since then, and I'm 58 now, I still do my workout, finishing with Sat Kriya, which is an inhale and an exhale as you pull in your navel with Sat and exhale with Nam. And then extend your exhale. And I learned something new on my health show, that people now are prescribing long exhale meditations, pranayama breath work with like a humming sound, because it improves your nitric oxide intake, which is a key to health. So I said, ooh, 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 like Horseshack on Welcome Back, Kotter. That's Sat Kriya. So I gave a demo. But that's been a theme for me in my health show, is that when these great supplement geniuses present, or integrated doctors, osteopaths, chiropractors, and they're all great, too few of them, I think, offer what I think is a missing key point, which is a meditative daily practice. Because I couldn't be effective without it. And I don't see, no matter how many supplements or steamed kale or juiced beets you take, or walks you take, I don't see how you can get to your ultimate flourishing state as a soul in this realm of the creator. So that's my long-winded answer, that you have to meditate to link your soul to the creator so you can know why you're here to do what you have been placed here to do with your agreement, unless you do this every day. And that brings accountability. It brings neutrality. So you're not too hyper, not too depressed. And I think the more people that do that, I think we'll get to more of a libertarian state where folks will be less stressed, less fear-based, less amenable to lies by the powerful, and we'll more easily dismiss the nonsense they spew onto us. It'll be easier to have a local government, worldwide trading civilization of humans.
Your answer was amazing, and it actually opened up like about 10 different rabbit holes we could go down. But I do want to, well, thank you for the Kundalini explanation. Being a holistic health, in the field of holistic natural health, I have people in energy workers and nutrients and, acupuncture, all sorts of things. And it's interesting, one of the things I tell my people is that, I can give you the best guidance, I can give you the best nutrients in the world, I can set you up with all of this stuff from without you, from outside of you, but the truth is you have to do the inner work. Like you can't just show up to the ballpark and not play ball. Like you have to actually participate in it yourself, right? So one of my drummers in my band I had when I was in Jupiter, Florida, my drummer's wife operated a hyperbaric chamber where they press oxygen into your tissue. But the interesting thing is, if you press oxygen into tissue and the tissue can't hold the oxygen, then it's going to be relieved. So I think your point about the deep breathing and all those things are important, which is why I discuss those with my, I don't even call them clients because I don't charge people for my advisement. I just help them for free. But I call them my Padawan, because the Padawan are the Jedi Knights in training. But when I share with these people, it's like the idea is to get the oxygen into you. I love what you're talking about, the breathing, the deep diaphragmatic breathing. So few people do that, and it's life-changing. But then once you breathe that breath in, you have to have the substrate. You have to have the your interstitial fluids, your plasma. You have to have the capability of holding on to that oxygen. And so it's not just one thing, it's a bunch of things. So I do, like when I talk to my chiropractors, I actually ask them, it's like, I think it's great that you facilitate circulation. Like you were talking about the lymphatic system, mobilizing the lymphatic system. Those things are great. My question is, what are you circulating? How powerful is your blood? Is it able to hold oxygen? Do you have enough electrons in your body to function as an antioxidant, right? So I love the way you think. It's very, very well-rounded. And, you know, you and I truthfully haven't talked probably since 2018 in any detail. So this is a really good refresher of who you are and what you do. I'm grateful. So if I heard you correctly, you first saw the Kundalini yoga and you didn't like it. And now you've gone full spectrum and it's part of your everyday world. Is that what I heard you say?
You ask a good question about repulsion to this brilliant new opportunity. And doesn't that happen so often? For example, when we're confronted with a theory so controversial that we quake in front of it, don't want to deal with it. So here I am, given the opportunity to experience an amazing new yoga style, and its weirdness repels me because I don't want to chant. I don't want to do weird movements. But that's what you got to do to get the blood and the lymph moving and stabilize the nervous system, because everyone is so whacked out nervousness-wise with stress and everything. You know, that's why a lot of popular Hollywood types do Kundalini, like Russell Brand and all these actresses and even Madonna, although I don't think she's going to be someone we want to brag about if she's on Epstein's list or whatever. Or even Demi Moore, actually, you know, she might be on the list, but I think she actually became a Kundalini yoga teacher wearing all white. So God bless them if they want to mend their ways and use the yoga to get close to God. I'm all for it. But it doesn't have to be Kundalini yoga. You know, whatever helps you awaken your soul and get on your path and connect with the creator, you know, there's all kinds of methods that'll work for that, right? It can be just a patient adhering to your deep breathing recommendations, or Wim Hof. You know, I hear good things about him. There's a myriad ways to awaken your soul and get close to God and thereby to help the world become a better place.
I think it's beautiful. You know, again, the things you're sharing with me, Charles, dovetail perfectly with how I talk to my people, because I've had people come to me. It's like, I say, who are you and why are you here? And they're like, I told you on the phone, my name's Sally and I got to lose this 35 pounds off my butt. I'm like, okay, that's the easy part. Like losing weight is like easy. Why do you have the weight and what's going on? Like, who are you and why are you here? And I'm not talking about them physically. I'm talking about their soul, their spirit. Like, how did you find yourself in this earth space and what does it mean to you? And I'll tell you, within about 5 minutes, a lot of people cry because nobody really talks about these deep and meaningful things. And so the idea that you take time and you teach and you advocate for taking time to be with yourself, to be with your creator, to be in nature, I think that's so relevant, because most of the overweight people I have, when I ask them why they're overweight, it's not because they're that far off base. Like with respect to their diet, a lot of them are trying very, very earnestly to do the right things. But when I ask them, how do you deal with stress? Oh, I'm a piece of work. I stress about everything. And my answer is, well, go ahead and enjoy your weight, because I can do the right things. I can help you, good nutrients, good lifestyle, all of that. But until you manage that stress and you're in this sympathetic dominance where you're constantly churning out these chemicals from your adrenals into your bloodstream, that weight's going to be a part of you. So thank you for sharing that. Did you have anything? I want to close that topic because I have another couple things I want to ask you about, because you mentioned you touched upon a couple things. I want to go that direction. Did you want to put a bow on that topic right now?
Well, I do. I always insert this in my health shows, Wednesdays at noon Eastern at Freedom Hub. Join me if you want to be part of the health disrupting dynamic. I don't see how you deal with the stress that's always going to attack you and manifest in you unless you're meditating and doing yoga or some related thing like Tai Chi or Qigong. I know there's lots of different methods to achieve that goal, because you got to get neutral with these hormonal secretions. You mentioned the adrenal glands, thyroid glands, important, pituitary, your entire endocrine system. In yoga, especially Kundalini yoga, works on the two base systems of the body, the endocrine and the nervous system. So, you know, that's my trick. And when I do this, I have a daily morning habit. I can more neutrally, with less stress, confront the day and be part. It's called being a householder, not being a monk, a yoga in the cave. It's being a householder, someone in the daily world. And how you be a participant in the daily world is you meditate, do yoga, so you can be your true face, your neutral soul face to the world, and being genuine. So
I love that so much. Here's a very broad question, because some of us, like I live in parasympathetic dominance. Like I really don't stress about anything ever. I guess some people call that the peaceful observer or the happy warrior, right? It's just, I will engage, I will fight when I need to, but most of the time things are just fine. I find my meditative state when I'm in my garden. Like I live on 20 acres, we grow our own foods. My closest neighbor's a horse. So my world is one of peace all the time. Being a Kundalini yogi, how would you view somebody like me that's kind of I don't do Kundalini per se, but I get this really immense peace being immersed completely in nature, touching the soil, surrounded by birds and butterflies, things like that. What, tomato, tomato, or are there things that I'm missing in terms of the meditative state?
You may not be missing. A lot of folks in the natural health doctor space are prescribing grounding. And what is grounding? That's connecting your bare feet to the dirt that you're in as you harvest your veggies, and you're also in the sun. And I think we're learning from the rabbit hole that the sun is our friend in so many ways. I don't claim a monopoly with Kundalini Yoga on achieving these goals of soul awakening and connection with the creator and your path. I would say, though, for those who are trying to seek a parasympathetic and sympathetic balance through the thyroid, it's in the neck. And there are specific yogi asanas that we prescribe for folks who are facing symptoms in various parts of the body. And one we give a lot for the neck, stretch pose, you're on your back, heels up 6 inches, head up 6 inches. So you're stressing here a bit. And you're doing breath of fire, staring at your toes. So it's like, so it's a rapid inhalation, exhalation. And then for a more direct thyroid stimulation, I think it's called camel pose. I haven't taught in a long time. I just do it now. You're on your knees. You're looking up towards heavens. You got a imaginary rope pulling your chest towards the heavens. your arms are falling behind you towards your heels. So you're looking like this, and you're staring up, and you're breathing deep, and it's going to be very stressful after a few seconds. You're going to want to quit. But if you stay with it, it depends on the kriya, the collection of asanas. Some of them are like just a minute, 2 minutes, some with breath of fire, but you're really awakening your thyroid and people and your pituitary and your other glands. And I actually, what is the gland in the neck? The thyroid is in your chest. The pituitary is behind your third eye, along with your pineal gland. What is the gland again, right in your neck? I forgot the name of it. We'll do a quick Google search. But if you want, there's a lot of folks that have problems with the glands here in the neck, and that's one exercise that can stimulate the endocrine system there. But also, you're expanding your chest, your heart center with that exercise, so it is stimulating your thyroid as well. So it's a catch-all.
You've actually piqued my interest. I'm very interested in this. Not just for me, but for many people. Like I have so many people, and one thing might not work for them, so maybe something else will. So this is a good discussion. Didn't expect it to go this way, so thank you for that. I'm grateful. So I'm going to go over to something that this is actually one of the first. I've been censored so much on YouTube and Facebook. I mean, I've been shadow banned and throttled back. I used to have 250,000 impressions per month on Twitter. Now I've got like zero. So I'm so like not relevant in some of those circles right now. But the first thing I got throttled back on was I circulated this statement. This is years ago from then the chairman of the FCC. And there was a reporter asking him about the safety of 5G. The 5G frequency of bands of radiation, basically. And I was just really putting it out there, like multiple channels, every place. Because those questions about those frequencies are very relevant. Like at the time, you know, there were beehive collapses. I guess they're called colony collapses with the bees. And there's birds falling from the sky. And all of these things that seem to be frequency related, but nobody was talking about it. And there's even circles of people who say that the scamdemic was not about a vaccine or chemicals in there, although I personally believe it was either a binary weapon or a tertiary weapon, where the one component was injected and the other one was going to be activated with frequencies. We'll see if that comes out in the future. Maybe, maybe not, but it's certainly questions. But the reason I bring this up is because you touched on 5G. I was throttled back, like basically warned, don't bring this up as a subject. That was my first shot across the bow, being censored personally. But what has been your experience? Like you brought this as a subject for some reason. Why did you bring it up?
Because it's a existential threat to humanity. And unfortunately, the pandemic awakened a good percentage of humanity only to the threat from the vector of pharma. So wonderfully, more moms and dads than ever are exempting their kids from the CDC vaccine schedule. So that's one wonderful result from the pandemic, is people are on to vaccine fraud. Wonderful. There hasn't been a similar catastrophe to awaken people to the risk of the wireless mesh. All folks want is a good cell connection with their cell phone and a faster download. And the dynamic with this issue is similar to that with vaccines. There's a big corporate corrupt entity in the case of vaccines, pharma in the case of 5G telecom. There is the same suppression of science. We have a bill at National Health Federation that's pending introduction in Congress that would require the Surgeon General to report on these comparison studies that do exist, but they're not very publicized, on disease outcomes between the vaxxed and unvaxxed. All the private small versions of these comparisons have the same reproduced result, and that is thousands of percent more chronic disease among the vaxxed compared to the unvaxxed. We're talking neurological diseases, autoimmune diseases, etc. The same suppression of the science has been occurring with telecom. The top scientists far back in the 1980s knew that the harm was what's called biological, not just thermal. The cynical fiction the FCC uses is if the antenna isn't heating your skin, if there's no thermal effect, why there's no harm? Go ahead and surround yourself with Wi-Fi routers by your feet in your office and all the sensors in your cars, on your TV, in your fridge. And those 5G antennas, they're now deploying down the street poles of your neighborhoods. Don't worry. It's not heating your skin. How can it be dangerous? It's such a crock. The danger is biological. And industry knows it. We have whistleblower evidence from Swisscom, from a patent to reduce what's called electrosmog. And in that patent application, they admit the wireless danger of cancer and that the danger is biological, not thermal. So even industry scientists themselves know that this stuff is carcinogenic and dangerous. It's even in your settings, your cell phone. They say don't hold it. And it's uninsurable. So the risk of wireless is not insurable. So that should tell you a lot. So the EPA found it dangerous and that the danger is biological. And what did Congress do? They defunded EPA long-term pollution studies on radio frequency and microwave radiation in 1996. FDA, another agency charged with our safety and health, did a $30 million study with the National Toxicology Program that found clear evidence of cancer. What did FDA do with the NTP study? It ignored it. And NTP has announced they no longer will study the biological danger of this radiation from the growing wireless mesh. So FCC was just remanded in the DC Federal Appeals Court for making a claim that its exposure guidelines are adequate for today's technology. That claim was remanded by the court as capricious for ignoring more than 10,000 pages of submitted scientific evidence of biological harm to humans and the environment. So all three agencies are not regulating this stuff as it gets deployed. And as Verizon advertises for the latest 5G phone and Elon Musk wants his satellites or satelloons. We have a bunch of bills in Congress. The big one that would preempt your local county officials' ability to set back antennas far from your bedrooms, classrooms, and parks is stalled, thankfully, but not so in a related rule. Net neutrality would also preempt local discretion on where to locate antennas. Telecom having total power in Congress, because my group doesn't have much funding. Folks are welcome to donate to National Health Federation so that we can do more lobbying. But they are going through the parks. All your national parks are going to be saturated with 5G antennas. That are going to make it impossible to go there to escape digitalization. Your fellow military veterans are now prescribed visits to parks that no longer could be a prescription if they're surrounded by DNA agitating wireless antennas. The farm bill has provisions to carpet our farms with antennas that already are killing cows and depleting milk yield and ruining the soil biome. It's a huge issue. I'm glad you brought it up. I need help We're having Zooms every week with congressional staff. Anyone who wants to schedule their politicians, I'll do the talking along with this lawyer I work with. And to get to your original point, I've had several presenters, experts on my monthly National Health Federation Zoom, who have said that the synergy is real between the, especially the 5G millimeter pulsed technology, which is beamforming, and it will synergize with the metals injected through the nanoparticles of the gene modifying experiment that is now being used, I think, for the flu shot, not just COVID, and also for pigs now. They have mRNA shots for the pigs, soon for the cows and chickens. And the synergy will be deadly, according to Susan Clark and other experts that, have presented. But even for those who were smart enough to decline the participation in the gene modifying experiment, a third of us are already sensitive to the radio frequency and microwave radiation. 5% of us severely and disabled by it. So turn off your Wi-Fi at night. Put your cell phone in airplane mode if it's in your pocket. Turn it off at night if you can. Go to Ethernet in your house if you can. I know most of us have wireless routers, but at least you can turn them off at night and put your cell phone on airplane mode. If you have a smart meter on your house and you're allowed to opt out by these cruel utility monopolies, I say cruel because in many states you cannot opt out. Opt out to an analog meter, a safe meter. I have one right here. 1 second. Take 2 seconds to show you.
So while Charles is gathering that up, I want to address many of your listeners. Some of you, this might be very complex, and you might say, well, wait a minute, we're all over the board on this. But the truth is they're all connected. You know, and even those of us who opted out of the so-called vaccine, there's still, you know, chemtrails that are spraying particulate matter, heavy metals, things like that, that affect us, but also affect the soils. They affect the livestock. They affect the water. They affect all parts of our lives. So that if you can imagine how a frequency, like if you took a piece of aluminum foil, this is very rudimentary. This is very basic. But if you look at how the microwave oven reacts to just a speck of aluminum foil in your microwave, you'll comprehend what aluminum does in the presence of these frequencies. But if you can imagine that at the micro level, and instead of you dealing with it with a microwave, this is actually happening at the cellular level, and how disruptive that would be to your microbiome. I would also, for those of you who are listening to the audio-only portion of this podcast, of this broadcast, there's going to be some documents that we're showing on our screen for the video cast that you're not going to have privy, you're not going to be privy to. So in those circumstances, you can actually see some of these documents that we've presented. You can go to earthangelproject.com. under the media section, and all of these documents that Charles is speaking to, everything we've shown on the screen will actually appear in a folder, and you'll have links and folders and things like that. You'll have lots of resources. So earthangelproject.com, and just go to the media section. But because right now Charles is going to show us a smart meter, and you're not going to be able to see it if you're here on the audio podcast. So with that, Charles, go ahead. I'm sorry for the interruption.
No problem. So this is, if you can see this, Tia Julie, a analog meter for electricity. Do you see that?
I do.
Okay. So you see all the dials. That's analog. What the utility monopolies want to force you to accept without your informed consent is a digital meter that is pulsing microwave radiation constantly. And you mentioned other toxins, and that made me think of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, if he is hired as promised by Trump, if Trump wins, to run a chronic disease commission, hopefully is going to unearth the corporate capture of the bureaucracies behind all the toxins in our air, land, water, medicine, and who knows if I forgot anything. But, you know, Kennedy himself has mentioned the geoengineering, getting the chemicals out of the contrails several times. He has mentioned his participation in the court case I mentioned, where FCC was spanked by the courts for capriciously ignoring the evidence. Kennedy was involved in that court case. Also, don't forget the land, the pesticides on our crops and the GMOs in our crops and the over-vaccination of our livestock and the hormonal injections. Frankenfood is a big part of our ill health, especially glyphosate. We had Morley Robbins present how that smothers your basic cells capacity as a battery. And if you think that we're electric beings, the glyphosate is terrible for us as a battery, as electrical beings. So we have to get rid of the pesticides immediately and really support our local farmers, especially those who are farming organically or regeneratively. So all these toxins in our air, land, water, medicines are important to tackle together.
We're probably going to have to double back and cover some of this stuff. There's just, you're covering so many good things. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is on my short list. I really want to get her on the call. She's really big on glyphosates. I advocate for full transparency in terms of where these chemicals are showing up. And I know that you're big on getting rid of all of it, and so am I. But in the interim, we have to just make people aware of where this stuff is showing up and also the connection between all of it. Like, we haven't even talked about, people talk about global warming and this whole climate change agenda, but they totally won't even discuss HAARP and how these HAARP phased array antennas are pumping billions of joules of energy into the atmosphere, bouncing it off of some structure up there. But basically, we're pumping all of this energy into the atmosphere, and they want us to believe that we are causing this. But it's the connection of all of these things. I want to share with you, I've read some books, and you probably have as well. I'm just going to guess that you've read The Invisible Rainbow. And also, you're probably familiar with the work of Dr. Royal Raymond Rieff, Dr. Rieff. For those of you who are not familiar with the invisible rainbow, this speaks directly to what Charles Frohman is talking about here. You know, when you look at all of these so-called pandemics throughout history and you correlate them directly to the implementation of a new set of frequencies, whether it's radar or radio or any number of new frequencies that we as biological beings are exposed to, there's a direct correlation between those so-called breakouts and the prevalence of these electromagnetic frequencies. And so if you're skeptical at all about what we're talking about here, why don't you read Invisible Rainbow, then come back and re-listen to this podcast and see how much sense it makes. Additionally, Dr. Royal Rieff, he was 100 plus years ago, but back when we didn't have electron microscopes, he would look at these pathogens, these little cholera malaria, these little bacterium under a microscope, like 11-stage microscope. And with his naked eye, he would see these pathogens and he would use frequencies to hold them in place, to freeze them. And then I think it's the 11th harmonic. I might be wrong, but basically these frequencies to pierce the membrane. So we knew over 100 years ago that we could use frequencies to have a deleterious effect against live cells. In this case, he was trying to isolate the frequencies that would harm the cholera or the malaria without affecting the rest of the body. And it was very successful. So successful that his laboratory was raided, his notes were taken, and he was basically put out of business. But for those of you who are skeptical about what we're talking about, the deleterious effects of frequencies on our biology, go ahead and call us names or, you know, do whatever you have to do. But when you're done with all the drama, go ahead and start doing some research and find out what frequencies do to your biology. Because on the other end of the spectrum, and I have somebody, I have a future guest who's on the other end of the spectrum where we can use those frequencies with consciousness on top of those frequencies to actually elicit positive benefit and positive impact from our biology. So I'll just leave it there. I just want to throw that out there because many people, this is the first time they've heard of this idea that frequencies affect our biology. But this is not something new. This goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. So I don't know if you want to address any of that, Charles.
Well, it may go back thousands of years, especially if our history is fake and people are checking out the old world theory, which is endlessly interesting. But the bankruptcy and persecution of Royal Rife gave rise to my client, National Health Federation, the world's oldest health freedom organization, which started in the 1950s to help avant-garde maverick healers like Dr. Rife or Linus Pauling or any other of the like Oregon therapists that were healing people and thus threatening the profits of pharma and the power of the AMA and the influence of the licensing boards. So luckily, Royal Rife's nephew or some relative, Matthew Rife, was scheduled to present on my Freedom Hub to talk about the beneficial potential of frequency. So I think it goes without saying that frequency medicine will be part of the personalized new integrated natural therapies that we learn about. In the meanwhile, not only is Arthur Furstenberg's classic Invisible Rainbow useful for learning the truth about the wireless mesh, but there's lots of other places. The Power Couple on Substack, Roman Shapoval does a great job keeping folks up to date. There's lots of what are called building biologists. A lot of people with money are hiring this class of expert to monitor and record their home's electric voltage, dirty electricity output, and electromagnetic frequency surges to learn you know, how dangerous their house is. And realtors are starting to feel the pinch, which is what we need. For folks to learn this issue, wait till the realtors lose deals when that nice house is located too close to a cell tower, or folks don't want a smart meter on the house, whether for electricity or gas or water, because they're putting these digital meters for all three utilities now. But yeah, there's beneficial applications in medicine, but how industry is deploying it is not safe at all. And they're putting it on your kids' schools, outside your bedrooms. So this is a huge issue. Thanks for raising that.
Certainly. So I think we covered the frequency stuff enough. For those of you, I mentioned that you can get a lot of this information. We'll put some links at earthangelproject.com. And I'm also going to put Charles in more of his expanded biography, because there's a lot here that we're not going to be able to unpack today. But Charles, one of the things you mentioned in your biography was that, you know, you've worked with John Mackey at Whole Foods, and you started this, it's called the Conscious Capitalism. Would you please address that? Like, what was the inspiration behind that? How did they get started, and where is it today?
Well, I worked more directly with John's sidekick on conscious capitalism, Michael Strong. And they brought me on when they called it Flow back in 2005 to recruit high-level celebrities, influencers to come to the first Flow board meeting at the ranch of John Mackey, the CEO and founder of Whole Foods back then. So we had some roundtables and some brainstorms on what that meant. To boil it down to one phrase, which makes sense, it's basically working for good, not just for profit or power, but working for good. And I think if you meditate, you'll naturally gravitate towards money-making efforts that do help yourself as well as society and this creation as well. In fact, you know, what I do to make money, selling an Obamacare alternative that creates the cash patients we need in order to fix the health market, is, in my opinion, working for good. I won't sell Obamacare. It has networks. And what good is a network if you get cancer or heart disease and you can't go to the center of excellence you want to go to, or even if you want to go overseas, like to Tijuana for the hyperbaric chambers you mentioned earlier, or cryotherapy or juicing and meditation that they have at Hope for Cancer and Verita Life in Tijuana and in Cancun. So you want to become a cash patient. So I definitely am following the conscious capitalist ethic of that endeavor. And it's grown, conscious capitalism. There's a lot of big corporations that are following that ethic. I haven't been involved with it since then, but I certainly have taken lessons from it and apply it in my life, especially with that sharing venture I'm involved with that was featured in Forbes magazine.
Excellent. So this, we've kind of made full circle around to the beginning, because I mentioned, okay, here you are, a libertarian, you know, a Kundalini yogi, you're a freedom fighter. And now we're talking to this audience. We probably have one of everybody out there. Some of them are very familiar with the topics we've brought up. Others think we're still quacks. That's okay. For most people, though, the goal is to get them to ask questions and hopefully take action. So you mentioned that you've got this product, this solution, this alternative to Obamacare. So I'd like you to address that. But maybe within that discussion, address what the average normal person, because so many people feel so helpless right now. There's this huge evil giant that's squatting on DC and its tentacles are reaching across the world. So many people feel helpless. So if you can address two things. One, tell me more about your project. Like, what is this alternative to Obamacare that you talk about? Because for a practitioner like me, that sounds very, very appealing, where people can make their own choices for their health. So I'm asking for that direction in terms of what that actually means and what it looks like. But then also, what can an individual do to exert pressure against that machine, if you can address those?
So, by accident, and proving the law of unintended consequences from well-intended government solutions, Obamacare, a decade ago, chased a million mostly realtors away from health insurance into what are called religious sharing ministries. That really is similar to folks leaving a bank for a credit union. Both the credit union and sharing outfits don't have shareholders, so they can drive profits back into member benefits. And the companies helping those sharing ministries negotiate prices at hospitals realize this credit union-like way of paying medical bills was sustainable and should be available to the non-religious. And they formed secular sharing companies. And our brokerage, our health insurance brokerage, realized that this was a game changer. And we have become the niche brokerage for different sharing vendors that are secular now. And what's nice about them is that they make you into a cash patient, because we're going to help you shop for better priced drugs, tests, and specialists. And new tools have arisen to make this new fundamental shift work, from vendors that are bundling prices of surgeries, anesthesiology, and facilities, And collectively, we're all helping the cash market, which has not existed prior to the last few years. And it's wonderful for patients and families because they're saving money. They're paying the true costs of healthcare through sharing plans. We're able to connect the sharing with health savings accounts that tens of millions of people have, and they love them because they allow you to grow tax-free money for out-of-pocket costs like the kind you offer, as long as you write a medical letter in case they're audited, that it's medically justifiable. Keep that in mind, natural practitioners. HSA payers need that if they're audited because there's a tax advantage there. So the IRS is jealous of its money, and so they don't want to lose it if they don't have to. That's why they audit people, and they're so cruel. But, you know, we are very open-minded in recovery from the cancers and the heart diseases and the bad accidents. If patients want to use more natural therapies, there is a set dollar amount limit and number of visits. You can't go to the chiropractor every day for a year in recovery of your automobile accident, but you'll get like 30 visits and like $8,000 worth of chiropractic care. So that's popular. So you don't have to just go to the allopathic drug pusher in recovery from major incidents. And then you have the HSA to pay for more natural out-of-pocket costs. So that's how the fundamental shift I'm selling helps the natural health movement, both for the catastrophic expenses and for low-level expenses. The sharing for expensive stuff, the HSA for low-level stuff.
So just to clarify, you know, at the end of the year, those people that are in a corporation or they have these bundled group things that are put forth by the corporations, this would be something that would not supplement. This would actually replace that. So they, is this the type of thing where they would opt out of what their corporations are offering and then use this as an alternative? Is that what this is about?
Yes and no. So sharing started with families like the realtors, self-employed people who are otherwise having to pay a mortgage, you know, more than $1,000 a month for Obamacare health insurance. When these price negotiators for the religious sharing ministries created secular alternatives for families, they also structured it to be available for small businesses. And with something Trump expanded called ICHRA, Individual Coverage Health Reimbursement Arrangement, we're now able to offer sharing as the health benefit in huge corporations. Now, we're cheap because we make sick people wait. We phase in your pre-existing condition over several years. So a lot of folks will get a sharing plan and Obamacare at the same time, just in case their cancer comes back or heart disease manifests in the first couple of years, because we're going to give you no help in the first year, $25,000 and $50,000 in years two and three, and then you're good to go by the fourth year. I tell folks in educating them that, you know, be aware of that, because if you suffer from a pre-existing condition in the first couple of years with us, you won't be happy. So if you adopt the sharing option in a big corporate group plan, some folks will be too sick to do that, and they will get Obamacare with a taxpayer subsidy, because, you know, it is heavily subsidized, or with a bonus payment from the employer, who can pay a certain dollar amount or a percentage of it if the employer, you know, does that for their workers. And then you can attach a health savings account to that if you want. It's the best way to build money for a nest egg. You mentioned, the corporate flexible spending account where it's use it or lose it. Keep in mind the HSA is use it or save it. So any money you don't spend out of HSA, you roll over every year. So you can build $100,000 by retirement. And then if you don't want an HSA, we have these other accounts that double your money over 3 years that are really good for chronic disease or having a baby, braces, dental. So that's what we're doing. And we're creating cash patients. We're getting you out of networks. We're empowering you to get in control of saving money. So it's working for good. So with open enrollment coming soon, people should take advantage of the opportunity to leave insurance behind, get into a sharing plan, whether on your own or in your business, and get control, because the allopathic system has failed us. You need to be in control so that you can choose.
That's true. And so just to clear, now we addressed the corporate point, but for those of us who are entrepreneurs, maybe you could just touch on very briefly the more salient points that are relevant to self-employed and the entrepreneurs. Just any nuances or any points that you want to bring up for that group?
Well, I'll be honest with you. If you don't mind a network such that if you got cancer or heart disease, you're fine rolling the dice that your local hospital and specialist will be sufficient for whatever incident you suffer in a major medical way, get Obamacare. They're basically HMOs. If you're poor enough, you make it a subsidy where the premium is affordable. You still have a $6,000 deductible. So you're still going to pay, thousands of dollars before the network physician is available to you. That's available to you. Sharing is going to cost you $250 to $300 a head, give or take. Depends on your age. You know, $500 to $600 for a family per month. So you're going to pay something for sharing. You're going to escape limits, though. No more networks. You can go wherever you want worldwide, including natural. You could have a health savings account, which is the best retirement vehicle there is for out-of-pocket or retirement. And you'll be able to go to natural care or overseas. So you're going to be empowered. That's going to be what you're going to be paying per month. Your out-of-pocket deductible, we call it an initial insurable amount, will be from $1,000 to $5,000 before the sharing community kicks in. You know, telemedicine is free, and we have free mental counseling, and you have your health savings account for out-of-pocket. So that's available to you as an individual or small business, but also big business now. So doesn't matter. It's the same price, whether individual, family, or small business. For a small business, we'll list bill you. So you have 5 employees, 15, 25. You'll pay the bill for everyone who has elected it. So maybe you have 15 people. You'll pay $250 times 15 in a monthly bill. And it's not a true group plan. It's a list bill. You're paying for everyone's individual plan. When they leave you, they'll keep that plan. They'll take it with them, which is nice. It's portable. And you can give them a health savings account on top of that, or a health matching account, which doubles your money over 3 years for out-of-pocket. It's good for dental. So that's how it works for individuals and small businesses. And
so, Charles, thank you for that. For people like me, that when you start talking about this stuff, like, my mind turns into spaghetti. It's like, what? How do people get a hold of you so they can have a meaningful discussion related to their specific situation? I'll put the links on earthangelproject.com under our show notes, but is there like a website or someplace that they can go to you directly? I'll still put the link, but just for the people who are listening with the audio version of this.
Yeah, I just sent it to you in Telegram chat right at the end there. Join mpb.com/health-empowerment, which is a mouthful. So you may want to put that in the show notes.
It's definitely going to be in the show notes, because I saw the link, but I just thought you might want to say it verbally so that the audio people can hear it.
It's too long to memorize for people.
It truly is.
You know, my Yahoo email address is shorter if people want that.
Just go to the show notes, y'all, and I'll have it linked up there. So I'm going to wrap this up, but I do want to just ask you a couple opinions on a couple of things. We don't need to do the deep dive. I just want your take on them. I also want to talk to you briefly about, you made a couple references in the pre-show and also in your notes, your pre-show notes to me about this reference to the Great Awakening. This Great Awakening. And I hear things that I hear about wokeness. I hear about people being awakened and all this stuff. When you say Great Awakening, can you clarify what you mean by that?
You know, there is a temptation to profit, to check myself, to censor myself, to avoid alienating potential customers. And I do censor myself occasionally, but too often I don't, And I'm sure there's a few triggered prospects out there that need my sharing plan because they need something affordable and better than what they have now. And I hope they don't avoid me just because I happen to be a host of a podcast that does push the envelope on acceptable content. But let's be honest, the pandemic divided humanity between those who ask questions and those who will remain programmed and brainwashed. And I pray for them. I hope you meditate so that you could rise above the fear and the programming and the brainwashing and the propaganda from the globalist news that repeats its phrases in every news show, night after night, day after day, to keep you a good little citizen. But the entrepreneurial spirit is one of disruption. It's one of innovation. It's one of adapting to change. It's one of accepting the chaos and profiting from it and doing good by it and bringing along your loved ones when you know that change is needed. And to the great reset threat from the Klaus Schwabs of the world and their friends at BlackRock and Bill Gates, and we offer the counter offer, the Great Awakening. And I think it's in the gig work trend, the digital nomad dynamic, the side hustle, the wanting to find one's path dynamic, all the people doing yoga, eating well, taking supplements. They want a better life. They want a better world. And they know that the index card of acceptable opinion isn't really enough for what they want in this world. So on my podcast, I platform guests that will provoke even the most stout-hearted. And I welcome folks to step into that uncomfortable space. Listen, believe in free speech. Let the controversial guests who are censored tell you what they have to say. You don't have to believe it. Just see it as an opening of a door that you can check out later on your own. But you can't expect health from a pill. You can't expect a mesh of antennas around your bedroom and classroom without some cost. You can't just look at the tic-tac-toe checkerboard of the skies and just cavalierly accept the authorities' promise that it's safe. You can't just see these sterile farms with giant tanks of spray every year and think that's not going to have a cost at some point. We're in a great awakening. Join us.
I love that. And I want to address your reference to entrepreneurs. I've got so many groups of people. I've got my plant people. I've got my entrepreneurs. I've got my libertarian friends. I've got all these different, even my podcaster group. I've got friends that are podcasters now, now that I've entered your world. But by far, the entrepreneurs are my favorite people because we come into this space with this this objective to take what's here and make it better, to question things that used to be accepted as the norm and to transmute them into something that's beneficial for us all. And a lot of people say, well, that's, you're just trying to profit. Well, yeah, I mean, if somebody's going to change the outcome for humanity and they're going to make a buck doing it, I have no problem with that, you know. But I like your reference to me being edgy because it kind of makes a reference to the idea that my platform is only about asking questions. So what you're suggesting is that, and it's right, asking questions nowadays represents edginess. Like just the act of asking questions puts me at the edge. You know what I'm saying? That we've got a lot of work to do in terms of asking questions. If in terms of our mobilizing the minds of the people, if merely asking questions, because, you know, we talked about alternative history, the fact that history, a lot of history has been hidden from us. We've also, made reference to these people that most people have never heard of, Royal Raymond Rife. Nobody's ever heard of this guy. Few people even know who Tesla was, Nikola Tesla. So as we talk about, I know a lot of people in that have this idea that the earth is flat. Okay. What I'm experiencing is that it's almost as if just asking the question about the shape of the earth makes them evil. It's like, since when does asking questions become a rebellious thing? Like, since when is it evil to ask questions, right? So I know you have some amazing guests. I'm going to actually tap you on the shoulder for some more guests, because your guests and my guests, there's a lot of overlap. But what are your thoughts on the state of the world when it's just not even okay to ask questions?
Well, that's a good question. And, one of my favorite true earthers, Austin Whitsitt, was on with his lawyer, who is of the tribe that has disproportionate influence in all corridors of power in the world. And he's a free speech lawyer. He's Jewish. And Austin Whitsitt was getting grief for asking questions about historical narratives that are full of holes and therefore should be questioned. But if you do question them, you'll get censored because some questions are not allowed to be asked yet. And what this free speech lawyer for Mr. Whitsitt said was that free speech is for unpopular speech, because popular speech doesn't need the protection of free speech. And this lawyer said that goes for hate speech. And Robert F. Kennedy said that goes for lies too, because you need unpopular speech and lies and hate even to allow the full scale of the conversation to work its magic, to elicit truth, or what can approximate truth or come or approach truth. But if you give in to the terrifying global elitists who want to censor speech, who did censor speech during the pandemic, whose candidate in Comrade Kamala has threatened more censorship if she's elected. Unfortunately, even Trump, whom a lot of libertarians like, if for no other reason than he's a bull in the china shop, and is a source of endless entertainment as he sticks his finger in the spokes of power. He may not push really good libertarian solutions for a lot of these problems, but at least he's causing some useful chaos, which allows us to insert our opinion on this or that. But even he lately has been threatening censorship for those who question those who are in control or who criticize our support for one country in the Middle East in its dealings with so-called terrorists. So I'm hopeful that if RFK is hired as promised by Trump to fix chronic disease, that he will have influence on Trump not to go there with free speech controls, because if there's anything we need for the Great Awakening and for even the entrepreneurs to have success disrupting any of the markets, and all the markets are a piece of the pie, they're all oligopolized and cartelized, all of them. I describe when I teach politics, life is a pie with pie slices. Each market is a pie slice. They're all definitely limited by the corporate capture. An entrepreneur's job is to expand those pie slices, and the margins. So that edgy is where we are. We're mavericks. We're on the margin. We're trying to chip away at the oligopoly, the oligarchy in each market. And you need free speech for that.
And I'll remind the listener, well, first of all, I appreciate what you're saying about the idea. Like, I became enamored with Ron Paul when he was saying things like that about free speech. We don't have free speech to talk about the weather. Like, we have free speech to be dangerous, our words should be dangerous. The so-called founding fathers, if that's really a thing, they were dangerous people. And they were dangerous because their ideas represented freedom. Their ideas represented a challenge to the norm. Even the Jesus Christ figure, that Jesus Christ figure was a challenge to the system. So I think that when you see the people who truly use their words and they get out there and they challenge the system, those are the game changers. It's not the person that kowtows and they bow down to the system. It's the people that disrupt the system and say, and for those people who think that being an independent is a failing idea, well, let's just pretend that only 5% of us have libertarian ideas. How many times does something get to the floor, this legislative floor, the synthetic system of corporate America, where there's a 50-50 tie and everyone's arguing? How valuable is that 5% that you all are writing off? How valuable is that voice, that independent voice that speaks from a principle base instead of a party base? You know, how valuable is it then? So we're not valuable until we're valuable, right? These independent rebel voices. So I find myself advocating for the person that's going to be acting upon principles first, but also the principles that are going to be most disruptive to systems that are harming we the people. So I want to thank you for being on today. This has been really wonderful getting to know you again. Please, how can people find out about your projects? I'm going to put all the show notes on earthangelproject.com, but is there a simple way people can get a hold of you? How do they find your podcast? And do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, Tia Julie, it has been a joy. I knew it would be. I've liked you ever since we first connected years ago around health plan disruption and all the cool things you were doing as a pilot and a musician. You know, I saw Phil Collins, I think, on the Mama Tour in 1983 when I was a junior in high school. It was my first concert, I think, apart from the Police. And so, and I know you're a bassist in a band that plays his music, or you have been, although you may have a different style if you have Made in America, but people can reach me through LinkedIn. You know, that's an easy way. I like LinkedIn, and you just friend somebody on LinkedIn and message them. I have, you know, my Twitter accounts and Facebook, of course, as well. In show notes, I'm sure you'll put the link for our Freedom Hub podcast page where folks can join us every week, Wednesday on health, Thursday on controversies. I'm sure you'll put the National Health Federation e-list signups so folks can help the Health Freedom Cause the third Friday monthly. A lot of stuff in wireless, but also vaccines and, of course, the toxins in our air. So the geoengineering and wireless, the land, pesticides and GMOs and vaccinating of our livestock, and medicine in general. Talk about licensing to help the integrated physicians get more powers and HSAs. Those are the main, my Substack page, I'm sure you'll put there. I like to write long form. I don't do it too often, but I try to make it count and controversial. I think my latest Substack article was the pigs are going to try and get what they can before Trump comes into D.C. And they are. They're passing a bunch of bills now in Congress before Congress adjourns. The pigs, you know, think of animals, this Pink Floyd album, Pigs, Dogs, and Sheep, or Orwell's Animal Farm.
Animal Farm, yeah.
I think that image is so accurate for the globalists. The global banksters are the pigs. The corporate dogs are the enforcement arm, and the sheep are those who are programmed and brainwashed. Who are the integrated healers between? I don't know who we are. Well, what animal would you call us? There's a conversation for you.
Well, I mean, the truth is we're probably the horses, because when you look at the hard math, when you look at the heart, the healing field of a horse, it's huge, especially if there's a downed, if somebody's down, the horses come around them and they synergize their healing forces around that downed entity, that downed, that sovereign that's down, the horses will actually come and help contribute their energy to that person. So I don't like the word person, but we can talk about that. So we have a lot of things we're going to talk about. Would you promise me we'll do this again sometime in the future? This has been wonderful.
Of course. And yeah. As you said, my Freedom Hub Rumble channel, over 6 years of weekly guests, I can connect any of them to you.
I would love that. So just keep me a steady, if you can give me a steady flow of people very similar and complimentary to you, that would be great. In closing, we talked about a lot of negative things. We talked about some pretty hazardous ideas. Do you have anything to offer that's kind of hopeful for the listeners?
Well, things are bad. The global elitists are demons, and they want to keep what they have. They're like cornered tigers in this Aquarian change time. But we are the change agents, the entrepreneurs, the integrated healers, the gig workers, the thinkers, the experimenters, and the faithful, the devout, the remnant. There's a lot of us, a lot more of us than you think. So just try and get into a good series of habits that your coaches are telling you to adopt. The daily routine, the daily meditation, the walk outside in sunshine, the grounding, the gardening, as you can probably teach people how to do just to get started. Get into some good habits so that you're useful. You can't be useful in this changing time of opportunity if you're not prepared and you know, coaching up, working out, getting healthy. So be useful, please. And really work with networking, working like Tia Jolie is an expert on, and get with a good networking group of entrepreneurs who have good ideas and good habits to help you make money doing good. You said something before about, you know, not about being sheepish about profiting from doing good. That is, like you said, what the entrepreneur does. He repackages something worse into something better to better meet customer demand. Profit from that proudly. Profit as we bring on the Great Awakening. So that's what I have to say, that if we do those two good things, we'll win.
Well, Charles, once again, thank you so much for being on Studio 17, Episode 2. For those of you who are just brand new to Studio 17, thank you for joining. Please remember to share with others. If you go to earthangelproject.com, whether you're a content creator and you want me to syndicate, if you have a good news podcast and you want me to add you to the Earth Angel Media syndication, I will do that. We can have that conversation. Or if you have a guest that is just really doing something positive and beneficial for the world around us, a rebel, an entrepreneur, a game changer, a whistleblower, an inventor, a writer, an author, a creator, I want to hear about those people. You can go to earthangelproject.com, pull down the menu and suggest a guest and how to get a hold of that person. I'd love to have your guest featured on this show. Once again, thank you for joining me on Studio 17. Be well.
This episode of Studio 17 is sponsored by Pure. Optimize your life by taking your health to the next level. Pure is an American-based, Amazon-like distribution system of online portals that give discounted access to clean, potent, natural, and ethically sourced healthy solutions for fat loss, muscle gain, immaculate skincare, immune system support, whole body cleanse, physiological balance, and performance support for athletes of all ages. With very deep financial backing, Pure provides access to more than just its own brand. Pure regularly handpicks the best products and nutrients from world-class companies to add to their quickly growing wellness lineup that now includes Korean skincare, medical-grade nutraceuticals that are listed as pharmaceutical alternatives in a physician's desk reference, and healthy coffee that rivals the world's best brews, but for only about a dollar per cup. Studio 17 listeners in search of the gateway to vitality, youth, beauty, and better health can get 25% off retail by visiting livepure.com/gateway and signing up for free as a preferred customer. If you are a content creator, influencer, or home-based entrepreneur looking for worldwide cash flows from the emerging gig economy, your state-of-the-industry brand partner affiliate program can bring you up to 7 different payment vectors as bonuses. As a content creator aligned with Live Pure and Earth Angel Media, you will enjoy massive co-marketing benefits, including a cutting-edge website that is personally branded to you or to your business. Sign up as a brand partner at livepure.com/affiliate or drop us a note at connect@earthangelproject.com to get more information. Thank you for visiting Studio 17 today. Remember to question everything. Rinse. Repeat.